It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. Big Tuesday episode of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not testifying before the House Judiciary Committee right now. Special counsel Robert Hur is on the stand. Long story short, he has come to the conclusion that
Biden's lost his marbles.
But there were no criminal charges. That being said, America being put on trial right now on the Hill as Democrats attempt to make this sound like some politically motivated witch hunt, while also keeping up the case for a politically motivated witch hunt against Donald Trump.
What the hell is the world coming to?
It is a mess, but your radio buddy Jimmy Failla owns a politics to English dictionary, and we will open it up in this hour and translate what's happening on the Hill into pure English, because that's what we do on the show. 888-788-9910. If you want a piece of the action, the show has one rule and one rule only. You can be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, just don't be a bang. There it is. Day two on some splashy new affiliates. We're in the weekday lineup now on WOKV 104.5 down in Jacksonville, WHIO in Dayton. This is a big deal. Like, if I sound a little chipper, it's because I am. And, of course, the legends at WGAU in Athens, Georgia. WDBO now has us in the new time slot. Even Levi May got out of the karaoke bar to bump us up in the KRMG lineup. That stuff matters, so I thank you again. You sure know how to make a girl feel special. That being said, the stuff happening on Capitol Hill right now is really embarrassing for the country.
You are correct, sir.
We're just going to cut right to the chase on this one. Okay, this is a pretty loose show. It always sounds like I get paid in Tide Pods and tequila. Most people listen to this show because they assume the real host has been tied up and put in a corner, and this is some type of a hostage situation.
That's true. That is true.
I don't have any formal broadcast training. My superpower is the fact that I don't have one. I'm just a regular guy telling you the truth. And the truth in Washington right now is what they're doing on Capitol Hill is just a farce.
Correctamundo.
Okay, basically where we find ourselves, and this is where we open up the politics to English dictionary and do it to it, is because we've had two separate cases, never happened before in the 247-year history of the country, we've never charged a president for mishandling classified information, mainly because the standards over what they can retain are a little slippery, given that presidents have a declassification authority. So in the case of Donald Trump, any document in his possession he could have declassified at some point.
I think he's got a point.
But it doesn't mean he did. It just means he could have. Okay, but the reason they never charge a president for stuff like this is when presidents leave the White House, presidents specifically, okay, everything's packed up by a transition team, thrown together in boxes. They have a massive amount of help putting things together, relocating to their library or wherever their post-presidential home is going to be, in Trump's case, Mar-a-Lago. And the National Archives has a record of what they've gone home with. Now, again, the presidents don't necessarily pack these boxes themselves, so they themselves might not necessarily have a record at the time, but they do ultimately come to find out what's in their possession. Like, in no uncertain terms, Trump seemed to know what he was sitting on. That being said, Trump had a declassification authority as a president. What they investigated Joe Biden for were documents that he mishandled as a senator, and of course, during the 8 years he was Barack Obama's vice president.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. Okay, and the one thing both of those jobs have in common is that neither of them had a declassification authority.
Bingo.
Meaning if Biden has those documents, he has unequivocally broken the law. He has broken the law. There's no sliding scale. There's no slippery slope. He was in possession of marked documents that can't be outside of a classified skiff for the government's safety. And he didn't have them for 1 year after he left the Oval Office. He had them for 10 years. He had them for 20 years. And we just found out, as it pertains to the special counsel's report, that Biden's ghostwriter, who had access to this classified information, only destroyed it when he heard there was a special counsel.
He should be behind bars.
So you understand, okay? I say this a lot. When there's a double standard, there's no standard. If you care about the country today, it should bother you that Trump would be tried, yet Biden would be let go under the auspices that he has some type of a failed memory. I mean, what's the judicial standard there? You can kill somebody, and if you forget doing it, we're not going to charge you? I mean, that seems absurd on its face. But the reality is, what's happening on Capitol Hill today, and this is why the sealed testimony is so much more important than the public testimony, is the public testimony is a show. It's a show. Okay, the Democrats are trying to get sound bites onto MSNBC tonight so they can rally those guys, give them some type of a moral superiority. Look at what these white supremacist MAGA fascists did today. And that's, you know, where they go. And well, we better charge Trump for classified documents. Understand, this man has testified under oath that Biden knowingly and willingly retained classified documents.
That's not right.
And under the letter of the law, you or I might spend a decade in prison for doing such a thing. But in this instance, they're saying faulty memory is grounds to let him go because the jury might find him as elderly and sympathetic. Ergo, they're not going to have him there. Okay, on trial. But the reality is, just so you understand, okay, if Robert Hur is lying about Joe Biden's cognitive state, if Robert Hur, the special counsel, in his summary is lying when he says Biden's elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor, that means Biden should be behind bars.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
Straight up, because that's the law. If he is, in fact, mentally sound, and he knowingly, willingly broke the law, then he should be in jail. Now, if Robert Hur is telling the truth, that Biden's brain is so faulty he's not fit to stand trial, then Biden should be in a home.
That is correct.
Either way you slice it, the guy doesn't belong in Washington. And if you know that to be the case, if you know the Democrats have a nominee on the ballot that's historically unpopular, okay, is deemed mentally incompetent to stand trial, but on the other side, the Democrats are like, no, he's not mentally incompetent, he's just a criminal.
That was embarrassing.
I mean, that's essentially the argument here. Hey, ho, how dare you say he lost his marbles? He's as sharp as a tack as a criminal. I mean, there's no other way to frame it. They're trying to say, oh, well, you know, the report completely and totally exonerated him.
That is a fact check false.
No, it didn't. The report said if we put him in front of a jury, they're going to go, this doddering old fool can't actually testify credibly. His testimony isn't generally admissible given the condition of his brain. Think about that. So we're going to let the guy go.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
So what you're watching in this trial is an effort by the Democrats to justify canceling a Biden prosecution while simultaneously making the case for Trump. Okay, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Jamie Raskin, one dirtbag after another, rather than questioning her about Joe Biden, are straight up just saying to him, Trump's the devil. Look at this video from Mar-a-Lago. Here are things Trump has said in the past. January 6th, white supremacy, Russian collusion.
It was made up by these sick people.
But you're not getting a direct conversation around what Biden did, because any direct conversation around what Biden did leads you to one of two conditions. Okay, either A, he's not mentally fit to stand trial, or B, he's a criminal. Okay, there's no way around it. So as they're trying to have this conversation, okay, what you ultimately come back to is Biden's not going to jail for this. Okay, I don't know that Trump ultimately will, but our justice system as a whole is taking a pronounced step back because everybody warning you about Trump undermining faith in our institutions is doing exactly that by destroying her and his findings. Just the way they destroyed Robert Mueller's findings when he found that Russian collusion was completely made up. Just the way they went after Bill Barr as the attorney general. tried to say he obstructed justice. The Democrats who tell you they're out there to protect our institutions and they're out there to protect democracy tried taking Donald Trump off the ballot, by essence, the antithesis of democracy.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Okay, so the big question, okay, the Democrats have, and this is where they're trying to discredit her, is they're saying, how dare you bring up his memory? Why are you talking about his memory? It's a political hit job, you see. Who is this guy? What is he, golf at Mar-a-Lago? Come on. Give this guy the special counsel. And the reason he's out there assessing Biden's cognitive conditions is because when you oversee a special counsel, you have to reach a conclusion on next steps. Do we charge? Do we not charge? If we charge, why? If we don't charge, why not? So he, in issuing a why not, allows Biden to get off scot-free. But they're so entitled in Washington that it's not enough that they're getting away with criminality without being charged. They also want the writings on their own terms, because that's how entitled the establishment is in Washington. But here is her flat out saying why Biden's memory was brought up. Clip 38.
There has been a lot of attention paid to language in the report about the president's memory, so let me say a few words about that. My task was to determine whether the president retained or disclosed national defense information willfully. That means knowingly and with the intent to do something the law forbids. I could not make that determination without assessing the president's state of mind. For that reason, I had to consider the president's memory and overall mental state and how a jury likely would perceive his memory and mental state in a criminal trial. These are the types of issues that prosecutors analyze every day. And because these issues were important to my ultimate decision, I had to include a discussion of them in my report to the Attorney General. The evidence and the president himself put his memory squarely at issue. We interviewed the president and asked him about his recorded statement. Quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. He told us that he didn't remember saying that to his ghostwriter. He also said he didn't remember finding any classified material in his home after his vice presidency. And he didn't remember anything about how classified documents about Afghanistan made their way into his garage.
So you understand, okay, what Biden went with is I don't remember anything. Now, there's a good chance he doesn't. There's also a chance he's lying. But there's no way out of this without arriving at one of two conclusions, okay? And I say that because her straight up in his opening statement said Biden, okay, knowingly and willingly retained classified documents. But the reason they didn't charge him is they couldn't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt because of Biden's condition. Because you understand the threshold for charging Biden is intent. He not only took classified documents, he had the intent to do something with them, okay? And he says they can't determine intent based on the guy's mental capacity, ergo he's not being charged. So he broke the law, okay, but we don't know if we're going to charge him, which, again, sounds ridiculous. Okay, if a cop stops me for doing 85 and a 20, I can't tell him I don't remember driving that fast, ergo they're not going to charge me. So you understand for Biden to be getting away with this, one of two things is going on. Either the fix is in, and they gave him a real backhanded free pass and exonerated him in a case where he should have been charged, or the president's nuts. Either way you slice it, we're all screwed.
You are correct, sir.
A show so good, it moves the stock market.
The Dow racing up on Jimmy's remarks.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. And prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
There it is. Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Fallon, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Special counsel Robert Hur testifying on the Hill. Democrats doing their best to discredit it, but not passing the sniff test with my man Sergio, who's listening on WIBX up in Utica. Yo, Sergio.
Hello. How's it going, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's going, man. I'm a little worked up. It's Tuesday, but, you know, some Utica greens might calm me down.
Sure, absolutely. So neither that will spice things up for you. I'm thinking, and I thought about this ever since I heard the HER outcome, that opens the door for that type of defense. And say, for example, I'm going to throw out a name, Whitey Bulger. He got picked up in California. I think he was in 88, 87 years old. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't his lawyers be able to say, well, you know, he's an 87-year-old guy. He's senile. He collects tropical fish. You know, he can't remember anything that happened 50 years ago. Or maybe a Nazi war criminal who's in his 90s or something. You know, he can't remember what he did in his 20s and 30s. We can't, you know. So I think that opens up a big door.
Yep. Well, that's the scam. I mean, so are you telling me Trump could just turn around right now and says he doesn't remember his classified docs and they're going to let him walk?
No. Well, yeah. So, I mean, that's not going to happen. But I'm just saying that by having this as an excuse for not to prosecute.
I agree.
He could have had a couple of other excuses for not to prosecute. Oh, it's a sitting president, you know, we'd want to.
Yeah, listen.
Prosecute or something.
But. I think it's insane that they've even opened this. But what's wild is, you know, Trump was at least a president who retained classified information, meaning at one point he had the security clearance. Biden is in possession of documents he wouldn't have the security clearance to possess.
Right. It dates back to when he was a U.S. senator.
Yeah. So it definitely looks like a little bit of a double standard, I guess, is the point.
Yeah.
I mean, he got away with it. It's not going anywhere. You know, the guy's not – they're not about to reverse their findings on the Hill. This is just kind of a show trial in the sense that Democrats will slander him for saying Biden wasn't mentally fit, and Republicans will try to point out the lies that Biden told. But the end result is nothing happens. You know, if anything, it'll be interesting to see how this affects the Trump case.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know, man.
So,
go ahead.
On a personal note, I got to ask you about a favor.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
So I got the full-size poster of Jenny's feet, the one with the toe ring. Do you think we could ask her to autograph that for me?
Yes, but just so you know, they are my feet. I only used her profile picture.
Oh, you got nice feet.
Sergio.
Hey, next time you're in Utica, I'll give you a foot rub.
You're probably going to win call of the day. Great call, Sergio. Thank you, brother.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
I had made a joke on Fox News Saturday night that I was selling pictures of my wife's feet. But they weren't actually her feet. They were mine, and I was using her profile picture. I didn't expect them to boo her profile picture. I kid. But Sergio, with a fine callback. And if you're not watching Fox News Saturday night, you better. Show's running good, man. We're doing well. This week's going to be a little nutty, though. I'm telling you in advance. Sean Hannity is going to be on the show this Saturday night.
What the hell did you just say?
I think that's hilarious. So last night, we aired a package on Hannity. It was me down in Fort Lauderdale. I went out to the streets of Fort Lauderdale after my show at the Amaturo Theater and interviewed all the hammered college kids who were there for spring break. Sean aired that last night. But this week, you'll see me on his show Friday. He'll be on my show Saturday. It's such a wild thing to watch. Sean Hannity's most successful okay, host in the history of cable news, the longest running show in the history of cable news. So you've got the oldest show and the newest show in the same studio at one time. It's kind of historic in that regard. I just want to know whether or not he's going to fire his agent on camera or off, because he does deserve better than being on with me.
That's true. That is true.
This man worked hard. He created a phenomenal brand and relationship with the American people. And now he agrees to come on with Jimmy Fallon.
Why do you do things like that?
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Busy Tuesday episode of the show. Emily Austin is coming by. Brian Brenberg is going to weigh in on some new inflation numbers. And I got to be honest with you. They were telling us inflation is down.
Not even close!
3.2% increase in the month of March. And the core price index remains above 20% in every single category.
Biden is such a disaster.
As a president, yes. What the testimony on Capitol Hill revolves around is his cognitive state. Special Counsel Robert Hur is still on the stand right now, and he's basically explaining why he chose not to charge Joe Biden. It sounds very similar to what you read in the initial finding, in that he knowingly and willingly broke the law, but he felt that the president would become sympathetic on the witness stand given the cognitive state he happens to be in. Now, that doesn't change the fact that he didn't have the authority to take the material, meaning if you and me took this material, okay, we're going to jail. And there's no version of this where we can be like, oh, well, I'm old and I'm doddering and I made weird noises, so they're going to let me go. It's just not how the law works, okay? Unless you happen to be a pretty high-profile Democrat.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
I mean, in theory, Hillary mishandled classified information in the run-up to the 2016 election. And in their decision not to charge her, what did they say? Well, you know. Even though she destroyed 33,000 emails under a subpoena, which means it was illegal, we don't want to put our thumb on the scale in an election year. So we're not going to charge Hillary Clinton. Okay. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we are in an election year. And the same Washington establishment that didn't want to charge Hillary Clinton has now charged Donald Trump 91 times.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Now, to be clear, he's being charged in jurisdictions outside of Washington. But the one thing every one of these prosecutions have in common is for some reason, all of the attorney generals made their way to the White House before charging Trump.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
It's just called lawfare. Okay, Donald Trump's not going to jail. They're not going to convict him in the court of law. They want these charges hanging over his head because the process is the punishment. They want to be able to say to people, hey, ho, whoa, we can't vote for this guy. This guy might go to jail. And then you look into the specifics of the prosecutions. Okay, and you go, oh, this is absurd? Okay, I had no idea. It's completely absurd. I mean, when you look at the New York trial, let's start there. New York trial, Alvin Bragg. He was the first guy to indict Trump. He indicted Trump because Trump, if you remember, he slept with a porn star by the name of Stormy Daniels.
Hubba, hubba.
I don't know, that drop doesn't actually work if you've ever seen Stormy Daniels. But stick with me, because Trump slept with a porn star. We knew this before the 2016 election. Paid her off, okay, multiple New York prosecutors decided not to charge him, and the case made it beyond the statute of limitations. But Alvin Bragg, the local attorney general here in New York, excuse me, the prosecutor anyway, DA, District Attorney Alvin Bragg, let me get that correct, decided to attempt to charge Donald Trump by bumping this up to a federal charge, which would by default extend the statute of limitations. Except there's one small problem. Alvin Bragg, as a local New York prosecutor, does not have federal charging authority. So you got the show of Trump being indicted and Trump showing up to a courthouse to surrender. But the trial isn't happening anytime soon, okay? Because, again, the process is the punishment. You've got the real estate fraud trial, where Donald Trump was charged with the financial equivalent of murder, except there's no dead body. What do I mean by that? They charged him with defrauding banks and lenders, none of whom are claiming injury or victimhood. Didn't miss a payment, wasn't late on a payment. In fact, every bank who is a subject of this prosecution has openly expressed a willingness to continue to do business with Donald Trump, meaning this prosecution of Donald Trump is a scam. Okay, you go down the Fannie Willis down in Georgia. What did we now come to find out? She was sleeping with the guy that she tasked with investigating Donald Trump for 3 years before the investigation was launched. Lo and behold, they've now lied about that on the stand. We come to find out a guy who's completely unqualified gets paid 500% more than the other investigators, and they, too, also made a visit to the White House before launching this investigation, which I got to be honest with you, sounds a hell of a whole lot like a scam, you guys. But understand, that prosecution, which might be on its way out the door because Fannie Willis was essentially, you know, doing everything by the book, and the book was the Kama Sutra, you know, for all intents and purposes. This does not look like a legitimate prosecution. Then you go to classified documents, and this Jack Smith maniac. Jack Smith is trying to charge Trump, a guy with declassification authority, for retaining classified documents as a former president, while simultaneously making the case that Biden shouldn't be charged, even though he never had declassification authority as a senator and a vice president. Okay, when there's a double standard, there's none. And that's what we're watching, okay? We're watching testimony on Capitol Hill right now where Robert Hur is making the case that shouldn't please either party. Democrats are mad because he's saying Biden's nuts, and so I can't charge him. Republicans are mad because he's saying Biden broke the law, but I can't charge him because he's nuts. Either way, it wouldn't appear that justice is being served, okay? Jody's down in the Commonwealth of Virginia. He's got a take. Jody!
What's up, Jimmy? Hey, buddy. Love the show. Love Saturday nights with you.
My man.
Listen every day as I travel, man.
Love
You're
it.
Doing a great job. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Thanks for being a part of this.
I agree with you, man.
Oh, I love it. That
yeah,
matters.
Hey, I love it. Hey, every day, I mean, you nail it. And especially with this one here, you put it in layman's terms that, you know, he's been in D.C. for 50 years. He took the documents. His family's been getting paid. And, you know, when's anybody going to put those dots together? Whether he can stand trial or not, he broke the law. I mean, you just have to look at recently. I mean, they were rolling in Ron Jeremy in a wheelchair to court to, you know, to prosecute him.
Which is crazy because I've actually seen Hunter Biden naked more than Ron Jeremy, if you're on the internet.
Exactly. But, yeah, how did they not charge him?
Yeah.
It just blows me away.
Well, here's the thing. I'm fine with them not charging him if they also don't charge Trump, because this traditionally is like what we're coming to find out is they all in some capacity wind up holding on the classified documents. But the reason Trump's appears to be a show trial is because they raided Trump's Mar-a-Lago with like a SWAT team. Like this was like a drug cartel they were breaking up, which makes you think that the theatrics of it all were designed to make this look like a bigger deal than it was, because lo and behold, it doesn't seem to be a very big deal. You know, like if Trump had done something with those documents, like he was selling nuclear secrets, okay, number one, he'd be in jail already. Number two, they would have leaked it by now. Okay, they don't let any piece of information about him that's potentially damaging stay quiet. Even when it's fake, you hear about it, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, Biden was never president. Trump was president. And, you know, there's two sets of standards there.
Yeah.
I totally, you know, you can't make this up, honestly.
No, I agree.
Hey,
go ahead.
A couple other things.
I
know you got Brinberg coming on later. Can't wait to hear him.
Oh, boy.
Hey, I was on your book signing. Love the book, by the way, and I'm glad that when I got it, you did spell your name correctly this time.
Catching a lot of heat today. Go ahead. I love this.
Hey, but Brinberg, I had a question for you, and he started reading it. Then he misgendered me.
No.
He panicked and went to the next question because you were like, Jody. Jody's like, yeah, Jimmy's getting ready to –
what?
Bust my balls. I'm loving it. And then he went to the next one. I was like, no.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
what? Did we do the question or no?
No. He panicked. You have to see. I saw the. I rewatched it. I sent you an email to your Saturday night.
Oh, I got to check it out.
Email. I'm not on X and all that good stuff. But yeah, it was funny. It was funny. But I love the book, and I will be actually headed to New York.
Whoa.
Tomorrow through Sunday.
Whoa.
I tried to get tickets to your show. I couldn't afford them.
Stop.
So
it.
The best I could do was two tickets to Gutfeld.
Oh, why would you do that to yourself? I kid. I'll try to stop by and see you. What taping are you going to?
The Wednesday night.
Oh, okay. If I'm around tomorrow night, I'll try to swing by because I'm doing Ingram tonight. I don't know what the hell they have me on tomorrow. I think Waters World. But I'll come see if you're in the building.
Man, I was hoping you were going to be on Gutfeld because I love it. You're the one guy that can go toe-to-toe with him. And you get the best of him.
Well, that's
I love
thing.
Both you guys. You do a great job.
No, he's fantastic. But it's not hard to go toe-to-toe with a guy who's wearing children's shoes. You know what I'm saying? But we'll work it out. Jody, great stuff. Enjoy New York, man.
Love you, brother.
Hope love you more. See you, bro. There he goes, the great Jody. He's going to see Gutfeld tomorrow night.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Stop it. Gutfeld was funny last night. I actually saw the beginning of Gutfeld. I liked a lot of the jokes in the monologue. I left. I don't get to watch as much TV as you'd think having your own show because you're busy working on your own show, sketches and stuff and everything in between. But, you know, when I watch it, it's always, you know, I root for comedy. So even when I was watching the Oscars and I was watching Jimmy Kimmel, like I wanted Jimmy Kimmel to be funny. He had some moments. It was, you know, not the end of the world. But it's hard to watch Jimmy Kimmel and not feel like he's paying protection money to the outrage mob. What I mean by that is Jimmy Kimmel was a guy who wore blackface a lot back in the Man Show era. And he was, you know, they had the girls bouncing on trampolines. Things that, to be honest with you, like Jimmy Kimmel and the Man Show was a funny show. It had a lot of funny moments. Okay, but that type of humor is not acceptable on the woke left anymore. So he's adopted whatever their sensibility of the moment happens to be. Okay, Comey's a bad guy. All right, yeah, get him out of here. Comey's a bad guy. Didn't, you know, he opened the investigation into Hillary. Up, Trump just fired Comey. Comey's a good guy. How dare he fire Comey? We loved Comey. Up, the vaccine's garbage because Trump's manufacturing it. Yeah, screw the vaccine. Up, Biden's mandating the vaccine. I love the vaccine. Let's get it in. You better get the vaccine or you're a murderer. Like he just on every issue is completely unprincipled because he's just going where the mob takes him. But what frustrates me is as comics, our job is to unite the country. It truly is. Like laughter has a job. It's like food. It's like music. It's like movies. We're supposed to be providing you with escapism so you're not so tormented by the rest of your life. And more importantly, so the people you disagree with can have things they agree with you on. It's called common culture. When we lose that, we do lose the country. So when you watch my Saturday night TV show, it's a lot like the radio show. I'm not trying to alienate people who don't agree with me. We do almost no politics unless we have Lincoln on the show. Lincoln just like, I think Lincoln might have stormed the Capitol. I mean, he was so pro-Trump on Saturday night. I was asking him about Biden and Trump and who'd you vote for and why and what do you think? He did everything short of putting on the Chewbacca outfit. He was fired up. If you missed it, it's on the Fox Across America Facebook page. It's on foxacrossamerica.com. But don't miss me. I'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the most relatable man on the radio.
Best way to describe him is to say he's the typical boy next door.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Going to be talking to Emily Austin, Brian Brenberg, and another fan favorite joining us now on the show. Michael's in Toledo, Ohio. My man.
I want to know, Jimmy, is how hard is it, how much harder is it now that your son has made his TV debut to live with the Link Man?
You don't understand him. He couldn't be a bigger pain in the ass than he already is. Okay. So TV affects nothing. Do you want to know what Lincoln does, Michael, for real? I should have made him talk about this on TV. When I'm eating food, when I'm eating any food, and Jenny can attest to this, he will literally like sneak up behind me and grab my stomach like, oh, this is going to look good on TV. What do you got there? And he just basically it's just an exercise in him calling me fat and fighting me. And he's go ahead.
I think the words "let go of my fat, please" aren't those uttered in the Fallon house.
There's all kinds of, yeah, all kinds of phrases you wouldn't expect to hear. But he handled it well, though. Like, he was, you know, he's good. He's comfy on the radio, so he doesn't care about being on TV. He has no nerves. Like, I could tell when I'm around him, you know, how somebody's energy changes. And he might just be dead on the inside like me. I don't know. But he's pretty smooth.
But he can be so serious. Like, oh, my gosh, is he actually Mossad or something like that? He's so serious. But then when he smiles, yeah. Oh, my gosh, I bet the girls at his school, oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah, listen, he should be cleaning up. If I was on TV in 10th grade, I'd be shacking up with teachers by now. Are you kidding me? I mean.
Can you imagine? I can't even imagine that.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
He is blowing it. If he's not, I gotta get on him about that. You got to turn. You know, I worked hard for a reason. I'm trying to help this kid out here, Michael. Good point.
The really good part about it is he really looks a lot like his mom.
Hey, so that's enough out of you. There goes Michael, everybody. Would you listen to that connection? Where'd it go?
Get him out of here. Get him out.
If you're keeping score at home, that's three cheap shots at the host in this hour. In this hour, okay? A shot about OnlyFans feet pictures, a shot about me spelling my name right, Michael flat out saying, you know, Lincoln's lucky he got Jenny's looks and not my. This is unbelievable, folks. It's the kind of show we're running here, okay? It's clearly not the type of show where you better just endorse the host or die, okay? There's a lot of talk radio right now where the host is just a, you know, be-all, end-all, omnipotent, intellectual superpower. And just condescends to the audience if they don't see it his way. I clearly do not have control of the asylum in that regard. We've got a full-blown revolt going on the phone. Doesn't bode well for the next hour, but I'm bringing in some high-powered backup. We've got Emily Austin. We got Brian Brenberg. He wants to talk about the economy. You know how you know the economy's bad, by the way? Okay? Is when you look around at the country, you know, you think of things like the core price index, because that's really the tell. It's the things you need in your everyday life to survive. And when the cost of everyday survival goes up, you start to see, okay, those weird internet jobs that we all kind of used to stigmatize become a little more mainstream, okay? A woman I know, okay, growing up, just messaged me on Instagram to tell me that she's now running a webcam.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
Well, I'm not even making this up. She's running a webcam. And I don't know how to respond to that. Like, do you know when you go to a business and they've put the money up on the wall, like the first dollar bill, the first $20 bill, the first $10 bill, and then they write, like, way to go or congratulate. You know, my friend is running a webcam. Do I hang up a dollar bill? Like, good luck. We're all pulling for you. I don't even know what to do. But the fact is, I know so many people venturing into all of these risque mediums. And again, it's not because we're a more progressive society now and this stuff isn't as stigmatized, okay? It's the actual, they say, necessity is the mother of invention. We're living in an America where everything costs 25% more. And at some point you go, I can go work a third shift tonight, or I can set up a camcorder in the living room and download it onto the internet and show them my goodies.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Well, if you love it when they talk dirty, get onto the internet, because the one upside to the Biden economy is it's never been easier to see your fellow citizen in the nude, because the rent don't pay itself. So if there is an upside, it's that. And of course, Biden has lowered arson because nobody wants to burn down your house at these gas prices. Crazy.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, back in action for a big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. We're bringing in Emily Austin to sing backup in this hour, give you some color commentary on the first hour of testimony for Robert Hur on Capitol Hill.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. A
lot of political theater. Hur is trying to explain why he let Biden walk, which the long and short of that is pretty simple.
Biden's lost his marbles.
While the Democrats are simultaneously trying to say, no, he's fine. Biden sharp as a tack.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Either way you slice it, it sounds like when Biden sat down to testify before the special counsel, or at least get interviewed, they probably should have shot him up with whatever they used at the State of the Union.
I agree with that.
Dude, they are lucky they didn't kill that man at the State of the Union. He was so hopped up. I'm still half certain he ate one of Commander the Dog's dog biscuits. I was very feisty. I've never seen that Biden before. But we'll get into all of that and so much more. 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of this hour of the show. And as always, there is no ideological barrier for entry.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. You could be a Libertarian. You could be an Independent. Just don't be a... There it is. As we get back in action. I'll tell you, thing that's been cracking me up, besides the drugs, obviously, I kid, the White House trying to make the case now that Biden did not apologize when he corrected his description of Laken Riley's killer from an illegal to an undocumented migrant is what he updated the language as.
That was embarrassing.
Oh, of course it was. It's really, I mean, listen, man. The idea that we should be concerned with the language we use to describe illegal immigrants who broke the law to enter our country and then broke the law by killing an innocent girl, and we should somehow be worried about language?
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard. So to give you just some background on this, the White House yesterday started to catch holy hell because everybody was like, why the – is it really – I mean, what really? The president's got to correct his language, and yes, he has to correct his language. Why do they want them saying undocumented and not illegal? Are you ready for it? Because illegal highlights the fact that this administration has been derelict in their duty to protect us.
Bingo.
When you hear illegal, you go, what the hell is he doing here if he's illegal? Why is he still here? Why was he allowed to murder someone after first being apprehended at the border? And you realize how derelict they are in their duty to protect us. You realize the cost of their ineptitude and their open border policy. By calling them undocumented, it's like, it's just a regular tax-paying American like you and me. They just got a little paperwork to get to.
You're not telling me the truth.
That's essentially how they phrase it. And this is why I say a lot, and you've heard other people say this to the point of exhaustion. They try to control the language because when you control the language, you control the people. Okay, if you control the way we describe the murderers, you ultimately control the public perception as it pertains to their overall behavior. Okay, and that's a big part of this angle. So when Biden at the State of the Union got the murder victim's name half correct, by the way, half correct.
You gotta do better than that.
You'd like to think so. Okay, he then went on to use the word illegal. This is the soundbite that started it all. Clip 11.
I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress and the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win. He viewed it as would be a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really. Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
This guy's a serious ass.
Okay, gets her name wrong, says Laken Riley, so half right. But then he tries to justify it like it's no big deal that he hasn't said her name by going, but how many thousands of people are being killed by illegals? Yeah, jackass, illegals that you let in. Okay, really think about that. Ah, but, fine. Laken Riley, I said her name. But how many thousands of being killed? I mean, dude.
You cannot be serious.
Okay, they're being killed because of him. They're coming into the country because of him. A man who signed executive orders undoing Trump's border policies created a humanitarian crisis that's getting killed at record levels because of fentanyl poisoning deaths and, yes, has brought violent criminals into our country. Biden, in the fallout from the left was upset that he used the word illegal. You don't say illegal. We say undocumented. Because we want to be empathetic to the murderers. We don't want to hurt their feelings. Okay, this is who's in charge of the country right now. I mean,
we really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
To his credit, Trump called Biden out for apologizing. Here that is over the weekend, clip 13.
Are we going crazy or what? Is this country going crazy? How about that one? The newcomer. No, he was illegal. And I say he was an illegal alien. He was an illegal immigrant. He was an illegal migrant. And he shouldn't have been in our country. And he never would have been under the Trump policy. And Biden should be apologizing for apologizing to this killer.
I agree with that. I mean, when you really think of the philosophical divide, you know, facing voters this November, one guy wants to stop violent criminals from coming into our country. The other guy wants to let them in and make sure we describe them in the nicest terms imaginable.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
None. But here was the Biden clip on MSNBC Saturday saying he shouldn't have used the word illegal. Of course he should have. What a jackass. Clip 12.
During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing. We have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
Such an idiot. This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
And understand, okay, he says illegal immigrants built the country? This is also the same guy at every union rally that says unions built the country, okay? He just has like phrases he holds on to. It's like a Mr. Potato Head, and you just attach one to a context and hope for the best. It's really sad to watch. But the idea that he shouldn't have said the word illegal would certainly come as news to previous Democratic presidents who used the word quite a bit. Why? Because the law was more important than the language. The people were more important than the politics. Okay, let's start with Barack Obama in 2009. Okay, then candidate Obama giving a take on illegal immigration that would make him an honorary Proud Boy today in the eyes of the Democrats. Here is Obama talking about how if you come to this country illegally, you're going to go back to the line and you're not going to get a free ride. Clip 20.
This is not going to be a free ride. It's not going to be some instant amnesty. What's going to happen is you are going to pay a significant fine. You are going to learn English.
What?
You are going to
learn English.
You are going to go to the back of the line so that you don't get ahead of somebody who was in Mexico City applying legally. But after you've done these things over a certain period of time, you can earn your citizenship so that it's not something that is guaranteed or automatic. You've got to earn it. But over time, you give people an opportunity. Now, it only works, though, if you do all the pieces. I think the American people, they appreciate and believe in immigration. But they can't have a situation where you just have 500,000 people pouring over the border without any kind of mechanism to control it. So we've got to deal with that at the same time as we deal in a humane fashion with folks who have put down roots here, have become our neighbors, have become our friends. They may have children who are U.S. citizens. That's the kind of comprehensive approach that we have to take.
Whoa, could you imagine if Obama told a migrant in this day and age, you've got to learn how to speak English?
He should be behind bars.
He's erasing their heritage. He's white. This half white guy is whitewashing the minorities. That's all performance art. That's what they would do. He can't say that now. He can't say if you're going to come here, you better learn to speak English. Think about that. That was acceptable parlance from a Democratic president a decade ago. Okay, you could say that because there was a greater good mentality when it came to this country. Yes, you want people coming to this country that do want to assimilate on some term. That doesn't mean they erase their heritage. It doesn't mean they don't celebrate their traditions, observe their religions, okay, maintain their customs from the old days and the old country. But it does mean you come to America to be an American. Okay, that was a trendy, fashionable thing to say because we all knew it was for the good of our country to have that mindset. Okay, but they don't adapt that anymore because they'd rather divide us along racial lines and say that anybody who wants them to speak English is some type of a white supremacist, or in Barack Obama's case, a half-white supremacist. Here is Bill Clinton, who has certainly done his fair share of outreach to all ethnicities. If you talk about his dating history over the years.
This is not okay.
Here he is warning at the State of the Union in 1995 about the scourge of illegal immigration. Clip 19.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more, by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
And those are my applause I've added, but if you watch the real video, he gets it standing out. Okay, why? Because there was a time where the law mattered. There was a time where you were more concerned with the people in this country legally than the ones breaking the law to get here. And although this is being done in some type of, you know, effort at scapegoating Trump's border policies, we should be building bridges, not walls. No human being is illegal. Okay, all of this, like, faux tolerance is actually posing a threat to our country and the well-being of its citizens. We've seen girls killed. We've seen children killed. And we've seen FBI Director Christopher Wray testify yesterday that the FBI's concerns about ISIS being tied to the human smuggling networks at the border. Here it is, clip 9.
You know, there is a particular network where some of the overseas facilitators of the smuggling network have ISIS ties. That we're very concerned about, and that we've been spending an enormous amount of effort with our partners investigating. Exactly what that network is up to is something that's, again, the subject of our current investigation.
Not good. And listen to the rest of this, because this is more Ray, and he's talking about how the threat posed by gotaways is a real problem, meaning the people who cross the border that we don't even know where the hell they are. Clip 10.
I worry that among the people that are coming across the border that are evading law enforcement, that there are some people among those that mean to do us harm. Do you share that concern?
I do. And I've been, I think, very vocal about this. We, of course, are not responsible, FBI, for the physical security of the border. We work hard to be good partners with DHS on that. But there are a whole host of threats that emanate from the border. It only takes a few people who can be responsible for a whole lot of harm.
You ain't kidding, okay? And one of those people is the guy in charge.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
But that's the reality. You've got a president right now, whether he remembers it or not, that's more concerned with how we describe illegal immigrants than the harm they're doing to the actual citizens of this country.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
It's the show that leaves you hungry for more.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soup, eat bread and desserts, and just get all fat and sassy.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Kerr,
that appears
I'm going to continue
report,
with
that's
my
not
questions.
Part of my task as
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know
that,
that
I received,
the term
I ultimately reached related to whether sufficient evidence existed such that the likely
you
outcome
you exonerated
would be a conviction.
I know that
I did not
the term willful
him. That word
retention
does not appear in the report,
has a Mr. Hurd, it's my time.
Shut up, fool!
Okay, but listen to that. That's Robert Herr sparring with Pramila Jayapal, because Pramila Jayapal says your report exonerated Joe Biden. Special Counsel Herr goes out of his way to say it does not include that language. It was not his purview to exonerate him. It was just his call to make a decision on whether or not to bring charges. Now, the Democrats are trying to paint this like Joe Biden did absolutely positively nothing wrong.
That is a fact check false.
When the reality is, this guy says he knowingly retained the information. Here's a Daryl Issa clip you should hear as well about that specific allegation.
So you went into cases thinking that you would succeed and you didn't. One might say you probably declined to prosecute ones that you might have either gotten a conviction or gotten a plea on. Would you say that's fair to say over your long career?
I think that's fair because I take the rules as set forth in the Justice Manual seriously.
However, I'm going to presume that you would never prosecute someone you thought was outright innocent.
Correct.
In this case, did you reach a conclusion that this man was outright innocent?
That conclusion is not reflected in my report, sir.
So to put that into plain English, did you reach the conclusion that Joe Biden was outright innocent?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. So the Democrats will carry on like it's some type of an exoneration, but all we're really learning is that
Democrats are so full of crap.
It's America's Life Coach, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
If the future of warfare is drone warfare and remote control bombers, isn't this fat generation of kids going to save us?
My generation all Call of Duty, so yeah.
Yeah, you guys play Call of Duty, right?
When we were in quarantine, my schedule was wake up an hour and a half of school, 13 hours of Call of Duty, bed, repeat.
That was Lincoln Failla. On Fox News Saturday night, we were talking about how, you know, America has a problem with obese children. Like, we're so fat that kidnappings are actually down because you can't get them in the car quick enough at this size. I mean, have you seen some of these kids?
This is absolutely gross.
But anyway, okay, Lincoln on the Saturday night show alluded to the fact that these kids are actually bolstering our national security, because if the future of warfare is drone related and it's controlled digitally, then all of these kids that spend all day playing video games and eating stuffed crust pizzas are actually going to protect us when the game's on the line.
Freedom!
So don't tell that kid to get out of the house and go play ball. Maybe you should keep him on the Xbox, is all I'm trying to say.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, somebody's got to protect this country. Lord knows the administration isn't doing it. I don't mean to get you all worked up, but man, you watch some of this back and forth on Capitol Hill, and if you pay any attention to what's happening over the semantic battle down at the border, you really do see and come to realize that you're just not the priority right now. Like, we're living in this weird time where the politicians are pretty open about the fact that we don't matter. It's weird, but it's how Trump maintains his hold on support. Okay, he's like the only guy out there. If Trump gives you a State of the Union address, okay, like Biden did last week, he's not opening on Ukraine. And it doesn't mean I support Putin and I want him to trample Europe. But if you were going to make a list of things the American people don't care about, like if you were going to rate things that the American people don't care about, Ukraine is like a 9 on a scale of 1 to climate change.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, nobody cares. Nobody cares about climate change. If climate change mattered, okay, they wouldn't need a co-signer for every climate bill, meaning the biggest climate bill in the history of this country was called the Inflation Reduction Act because people cared about inflation reduction. They didn't care about climate change. So the administration was like, I've got it. We'll get them to fund climate change by calling it inflation reduction.
What a fraud.
And that's what they did. But is inflation down as a result of the Inflation Reduction Act? Brian Bremberg is going to be talking about it in the next hour. Went up 3.2% in the previous month. And if you are a person who is living paycheck to paycheck or taxi ride to taxi ride, as I was when Lincoln was born, this stuff screws you really hard. And the idea that the Democrats would just get on TV and be like, no, it's fine. It's just a messaging problem. You don't understand. People don't get it because the messaging.
You are so full of shit.
Okay, people, it's not about the message. It's about the bank balance. It's about when you go to the grocery store, you're now spending more money and getting less product.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
A lot of people are, but that's why Biden is underwater 20 points on the economy. When you say things like, oh, it's a messaging problem. We'll get out on the Sunday shows and we'll change it around on this. No, you won't. Because everybody who is affected by this economy is not home for the Sunday shows because they got to pick up an extra shift.
He knows what he's talking about.
This is the dumbest time there's ever been to be alive. And it's made worse by the fact that the people who want to be in charge of you have no connection whatsoever to what it's like to be you. I talked about this last week with Mark Cuban. Like Mark Cuban, man. You know, he's a guy that's listened to the show and messaged me on Twitter to say he's listened to the show. So I wish him no ill will. I don't want any enemies anywhere out there in media. Like, I talk a lot of smack, but I'm harmless. I'm going to go home and play with my kid, hang out with my wife, smoke a cigar in the backyard, pet the dog, hopefully remember to let him back in the house before I go back inside and pass out, which isn't always the case. But the bottom line is, okay, you know, I'm not here trying to pick fights. I'm not like a provocateur, a shock jock. But when Mark Cuban said last week he would vote for Biden's dead body over Donald Trump, now I understand he might have a personal animus towards Trump, might have a personal animus towards Trump supporters, but if you care about rank and file Americans, there's not even a conversation to be had over which president was head and shoulders better than the other one. Again, you could say things about democracy or January 6th if you have the luxury to itemize your political violence. Because if you're somebody who's voting based on January 6th, you are itemizing political violence. I condemn all of it as a whole. Okay, if you look at it in aggregate, January 6th isn't a top 10 event in terms of the carnage we saw in the summer of 2020. Okay, when you talk about $10 billion worth of property damage, January 6th didn't do $10 million worth of property damage. I'm not saying that makes it acceptable. I'm just saying when you look at what happened in the summer of 2020 when they were lighting police stations on fire, creating pretend countries in Seattle, lighting courthouses on fire in Portland, and destroying stores and looting everything imaginable in the name of some type of racial justice, okay, if you think all of it's bad, I'm with you. If you only think some of it's bad, depending on the party, you're a stupid person, if not just a hopelessly partisan hack. But the fact remains, if January 6th determines whether or not you vote, you're living a life of luxury that a lot of people can't afford to live, meaning January 6th didn't impede or enhance anyone's ability to feed their family or feel safe going to the store. Okay, January 6th didn't affect the southern border, or the record levels of fentanyl pouring in, or the human sex trafficking that's going on, or the fact that your own FBI director, Christopher Wray, just testified that they're concerned that ISIS is tied to some of the human trafficking organizations that are exploiting our open southern border. Okay, again, if you are a working class citizen, not a billionaire like Mark Cuban, Mark Cuban's a billionaire. If the core price index goes up 85%, it doesn't affect him. But the core price index being up 23% is absolutely positively crushing the little guy.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
So you understand when Mark Cuban says, oh, I just vote for Biden's dead body over Trump. Well, listen, he already voted for Biden's dead body once in 2020, if we're going to be honest.
Tell him like it is.
Okay, so I don't doubt he'd do it a second time. But you're really flexing an indifference to what it's like to be a regular person in this country. Guys, it's bad. It's not because of messaging. And when you say things like the stock market is up and your 401k, yeah, that's good. Okay, if you're in that position. Okay, but if you're in the position of living paycheck to paycheck, every time you've gotten a paycheck in the last 3 years, the distance it traveled at the cash register has gotten a little bit shorter. Now, we're off the 40-year high that his runaway spending had caused, but the budget he just unveiled calls for another $7 trillion in spending.
That is financial lunacy.
With the plan to pay for it, a $5.5 trillion tax increase across the board.
Just hold on to your pocketbook. They just put a lien on your money, your savings, and your retirement.
Because understand, taxing the rich is not real. It's a fantasy. Okay, the rich are rich because they're pretty good with money. And they know better to just hand it over all willy-nilly to a government that's $34 trillion in debt. So when you go after the rich, what they ultimately get, okay, is defensive. And they can afford accountants. They can afford lawyers. That's why the middle class always becomes the pinata for the IRS. I've been audited 3 times. When you send the middle class a letter from the IRS, it's a pinata. You hit that pinata with a stick, money's going to fly out. You hit a rich guy with that stick, an attorney's going to fly out. An accountant's going to fly out. They're going to drag the negotiation out over 7 years. You're going to wind up getting 3% of what you were originally owed. And the government hasn't closed the gap on what it spent and what it borrowed. Tax the rich sounds good. You know, class warfare often polls well for Democrats on the stump. But at the end of the day, the deficit only grows because the rich are too smart to just hand it over to these idiots. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And that's what's dragging us down in Washington. Okay, we take in a record level of taxes every year the record goes up. But their answer to that is to just increasing the rate when in reality they should be controlling the spending. But they don't want to control the spending because what the Democrats do to spending cuts is they portray them as motivated in some type of racial bigotry, some type of an animus towards a protected class of people. Well, they only want to cut these benefits. Because there's members of some minority in this group, and, you know, they're clearly cutting the benefits because they're biased against these people.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
110 million bazillion percent. They're all stupid ideas. You understand why the border got open? Because of the stupid idea that securing the border was racist. Think about that. Trump ran on build a wall, secure the border. Something that is not new. Trump was a cover band when it comes to border security. Why do we know that? Because the Democrats voted for border wall funding under Barack Obama and under George W. Bush. They were fine with border walls till Trump ran on a border wall, at which point they were like, that's racist. We should be building bridges and not walls. Okay, and that's what they did. And because they were catering to a subset of voters whose emotions were their facts, the first thing Biden did when he got into office is sign 91 different executive orders to repeal Trump's border policies. Okay? Something that has become a humanitarian crisis at a level which has exploded beyond all believable bounds. Okay? It's bad enough now that even my former governor, Handsy Andy Cuomo.
Andy!
Do you remember Andy Cuomo? The man of the year at one point. Joe Biden called Andy Cuomo the gold standard during COVID.
And the answer is I don't fully know. We've been leaving it to the governors. Thank God the governors have been moving. Your governor of New York's done one hell of a job. I think he's sort of the gold standard.
What an idiot.
He called Andy Cuomo the gold standard. Well, to be clear, he was, you know, treating women like gold if they'd take their clothes off.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
But Handsy Andy ultimately got chased out of Albany as the governor of New York. Okay, but Handsy Andy trying to make a comeback in politics and at least appeal to some common sense out there, as a Democrat, called Biden's border the worst crisis, the worst government blunder he's ever seen. This is clip 17.
Look at the homeless problem. Look at the crime problem. Look at what's going on in the subways.
That's what he would say. And then on top of it all, we now have a migrant problem. And that's new. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because I've been in and out of government all my life. I served in the federal government with Bill Clinton. I worked with David Dinkins, Attorney General, Governor. This is the worst government blunder I have seen in my entire life.
I admire your honesty.
I do. And it's not every day you get to say that about Andy Cuomo, because he's the same dirtbag who lowered the death toll in nursing homes during COVID so he could pad the advance on his book deal. That's what Andy Cuomo did.
Garbage like you just makes me sick.
Oh, yeah, total dirtbag. But, you know, he's honest enough to admit what they're doing at the border is a gargantuan catastrophe. And Biden was asked about signing executive orders because that's how he created the problem. And he's steadfast in that he wants Congress to work out a bill. Now, why does he want Congress to work out a bill? Because he can claim a legislative victory. But are you ready for it? Because this is more important. If he simply signs executive orders reinstating Trump's border policies, then he flat out has to admit they worked, which he's never going to do.
I'm telling you, that boy's a genius.
That's what this comes down to. He can't just rewrite Trump's border, remain in Mexico. That means you were wrong to cancel it. They don't find fault. And this is why they're not credible as leaders. If I was ever the president, okay, and I'm not going to be the president because they have this thing called the background check. I won't pass. But presidents and leaders would be so much more credible if they admitted defeat from time to time. Like a good example for Biden is he was above water going into his first August in office when the Afghan troop withdrawal occurred. Okay, Joe Biden made the decision to take the troops out ahead of the civilians.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of.
Of course it is. And a humanitarian crisis ensued. They assured us the Afghan army wasn't going to collapse. The president of Afghanistan had given them assurances. Meanwhile, that guy had packed up every dollar he could get his hands on in a suitcase and boarded a boat, like all people who were certain that the government wasn't going anywhere. But anyway, the army collapsed. Humanitarian crisis ensues. Okay, we wind up stranding allies behind enemy lines. We wind up ceding control to the Taliban yet again. But this time around, they're sitting on nearly $85 billion worth of our weapons. And rather than admitting it was a disaster and firing all the generals who advised Biden and creating some separation between Biden and what we all knew to be an abject failure, Biden got on TV with a straight face and told us it was the most successful airlift in the history of our country. And no one ever took him serious again. Because your eyes watched people clinging to the wheels of cargo jets in an attempt to flee Taliban rule. Your eyes watched parents throwing their babies over barbed wire fences, knowing anyone who caught them on the other side could provide a better life for their baby than the one they were going to have under Taliban rule. That's the fallout Biden created. And he chose, rather than to find fault in himself or to take a loss, fire some generals and say this is unacceptable, he tried to sell it as a success.
That is offensive, and it is not true.
Not at all. Not even remotely true. And he never recovered. And that's the problem they're having in this moment now. He can't just go secure the border because then he has to take a loss and acknowledge that he was the guy who opened it up in the first place. And that's when you realize the politics are always more important than the people. Believe me, we're in a bad place when the voice of reason is handsy Andy Cuomo.
Andy! Andy!
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
He is one of those iconic figures that fans care about.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Going to be talking to Brian Brenberg in the next hour. What a wild time to be alive, man. 8 months. 8 months from Election Day right now. Eight freaking months.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's going to be a lot of back and forth. My goodness gracious. They had Biden out on the stand yesterday, asked if he was allowed to take questions, and was told no. You know, like all people that are in charge. Here it is, clip 28.
But really, it's just getting to look people in the eye, get their feelings. They tell you the truth when they're talking to them. Anyway, am I allowed to take any questions? Anybody here to stay?
I mean,
that was embarrassing.
It's the president of the United States. They laugh because it's like, folksy Joe. I'm not really in charge. And it's a joke. But you know why jokes work, guys? Because there's truth in them. If the audience doesn't agree with the premise, they don't laugh at the punchline. Meaning, if you did a bit about, CVS, the receipts are short, they wouldn't buy and follow your logic because CVS is known to have cartoonishly long receipts. Okay, every joke is marinated in some type of a jump-off truth. And when Biden makes that joke about being allowed to take questions, people laugh because they know he's frequently not allowed to take questions. Okay, and he's trying to sell you a folksy charm, but what he's really showcasing to the rest of the world is that the guy isn't actually in charge.
Bingo.
I mean, it's crazy, though, that they don't trust him to go off mic. So it's like, what actually happens in like a bilateral meeting? Not that we do a lot of them, but you've got to wonder who does the speaking, because this is a guy that's just running whatever play they send into the huddles. And then they tell you he's sharp as a tack.
You must be crazy. When are you going to stop believing in something that isn't true?
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is. And Jimmy Failla is fired up. That's me, fired up in this hour to have a grown-up talk with you about the economy, which I got to be honest, the Democrats say it's doing well.
You cannot be serious.
I think they are, but we'll get into it with Brian Brenberg, who is the host of the Big Money Show on Fox Business. And we'll actually level with you, because when it comes to the economy, anybody who tells you it's succeeding,
you can't handle the truth.
But we can here at 888-788-9910. That's the phone number if you want to be a part of the show. Also the phone number if you don't want to be a part of the show.
Stop talking to me.
We do have those people, and we'll take the beating. I'm into that. I used to be a New York City cab driver. Can you imagine the unspeakably vile things people have said to me in traffic when I'm out there? I mean, man, oh boy, oh man.
Now listen, little boy.
Okay, it got crazy. But the point is, agree, disagree, you're all welcome. You live in America. This show is a celebration of your unique American privilege.
Freedom!
That's all it means. We get a little perspective. The mood is light. We take the issue serious. We don't take ourselves seriously. Because I don't know if you heard, the world is on fire. So all I'm trying to do to bring people together is roast a couple of marshmallows on the blaze.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
No one digging the new inflation numbers that ticked up in the month of February, according to the Labor Department. Prices climbed 3.2% in February, from the same time last year.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
Okay. Core prices, which exclude the more volatile measurements of food and energy, climbed 0.4%, rose 3.8% annually. Altogether, the report indicates that while inflation has fallen off its peak of 9.1%, it still remains exponentially higher than it was when Biden took office.
Biden sucks.
Okay, and what do we get to go with this inflation report? News that they might do even more spending. Now, I got to be honest with you, man. More spending at a time when we're $34 trillion in debt, more spending?
That is totally absurd.
Okay. Budget proposal of $7.3 trillion for the fiscal year of 2025 lays out roughly $5 trillion in tax increases, which the White House said would be split evenly between corporations and the top 2% of income earners.
This is Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes?
That's all, folks.
Okay, understand. Corporations and the upper 2% of income earners, number one, they create jobs with their wealth. And when you tax them at a more aggressive rate, that generally means less investment, that generally means less venture capitalism, that generally means less jobs. You know what else it means? It means higher costs of goods.
Thanks, big government weenuses.
Oh, that was Kennedy. Kennedy's going to be at the Carson Nugget, by the way, March 23rd. It's a Saturday night. There's two. I'm not there. Kennedy's there. The K-Train's there. One half of the Laughs and Liberty Tour is going to Carson Saturday night, March 23rd. If you're listening on KKFT or one of the fun stations, get out there in Reno. Go see the Dean at the Carson Nugget. Get rowdy. Watch the K-Train. But the point is that increased spending comes with a higher cost to you as a consumer. Okay? And when you understand at a time when core prices are still up, when you understand that people are already struggling to get by, the last thing on earth you want to hear is that the government is asking for more taxes.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Okay, it's a disaster. Okay, in this instance. And they're doing this in the name of pushing forward more progressive policies, $8 billion over the next 10 years to the American Climate Corps. The American Climate Corps, whatever the hell that is, $3 billion for the Green Climate Fund, which, again, two things that aren't top five polling issues in the 2024 election are what they're raising taxes to pay for. Okay, when it comes to government spending, when it comes to the climate agenda, okay, the Democrats forcing this, crowbarring it into every conversation, they're like the guy with the one-track mind. Every guy who's ever lived with a girl is guilty of doing that thing where you've decided that when she gets home today, it is going down. Okay, it's going down when she gets home today. You better. But every guy's been guilty of this in their youth. The girl comes home and you're like, hey, good to see you. And she's like, oh, I had the worst day. My boss is a jerk. I broke a heel. I was in traffic for 2 hours. And the guy's like, well, I know what you need. And the woman just looks at you like
somebody ought to belt you in the mouth,
because her priorities are not yours in that moment. That's the Biden administration. We're $34 trillion in debt. People are being crushed by the cost of goods. And the Biden administration's like, well, I know what you need. Let's go spend another $7 trillion on the climate.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
Seriously. But I would never advocate for violence, as you know.
Never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it.
Words to live by. But when you start to hear about this type of spending, and then you start to hear things out there on the campaign trail like, no, no, the economy's good. We just have a messaging problem. Okay? The problem is not the message and how it's delivered. The problem is the American consumer gets the message loud and clear. We're not going to stop spending money on things you don't prioritize.
That's true. That is true.
That's what's going on. We're not going to stop spending money on things you don't care about. That's where we find ourselves. The fact remains, Americans don't care, okay, to make climate change a top five focus. That is a fact.
We choose truth over facts.
I don't doubt that they do, but that doesn't actually mean anything in theory. He says that. That's part of the problem with having a president who's out to lunch.
I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness.
Okay, the guy's a mess. So when we bring Brian Bremberg on in this hour, we start talking to you about the economy. You understand he's giving you an assessment based on how it affects you as a consumer, how it affects you at a cash register. Okay, Sarah Fagan was on Meet the Press over the weekend talking about how Biden's economy is affecting working class Americans and black Americans more. They're getting crushed by the cost of goods. That is just a reality. Okay, messaging doesn't affect the cost at the cash register. Messaging doesn't affect the balance at the ATM. So when you start to hear them say things like, no, the economy's fine, it's just people aren't getting the message from the media.
It's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
Because people don't get their messages on the economy from the media. They get their messages on the economy from their bank account.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Here's Sarah Fagan laying it down, clip three.
Well, I think it's a couple reasons. I think primarily it's economic. I mean, if we're coming out of this very high inflationary period. It's cooled, but still, you know, food costs, housing costs, these are higher percentages of people's take-home budgets. And so if you're a working-class American of any color, you have really been impacted by that. And so voters overwhelmingly consider Trump, the Trump economy, to have worked better for them than the Biden economy. And so that's affected Black Americans.
I mean, think about that. Flat out saying, voters are telling you the Trump economy worked better than the Biden economy, and that's affecting Black Americans.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't Black? A
lot of people losing their Black card this week. If you're looking at the polls, and it won't help that Sir Charles Barkley, the round mound of rebound, laying down the law on the Democrats. Here it is on CNN, clip 5.
The reason I think the Democratic Party and Mr. Biden, President Biden, is losing Black votes is they only care about Black people every 4 years. They come into our neighborhoods and say, we're going to make stuff better. We're going to do this, do this, do this. And then finally, us Black people are like, yo, man, other than my ability to dunk a basketball, all my neighborhoods are still the same. Our schools are still the same. And that's why I think Black people are leaving disappointed in the Democratic Party, because I ain't going to lie, I voted Democratic every time just because I thought it was going to help Black people and poor people. Because Black people and poor white people, they're in the same boat.
I mean, think about that. But Biden's flat out telling you, no, I've delivered more than anybody since LBJ.
You are so full of shit.
Okay, you heard Sarah Fagan flat out tell you the economy is hurting Black Americans, hurting them. Here is Biden saying life has never been better for Black Americans. Clip 6.
You promised Black America that you'd have our back. Do you feel you have our backs?
I have your back, and I'm not more, as much as any president has in American history since Lyndon Johnson. Black wealth has increased by 60%. We across the board. And I wish you ought to interview some of the Black the business people here, the Black leaders who are here. And they told me about how they're moving. They have loans. They have direct payments that are being made by the government to keep them going.
Black wealth has increased by 60% across the board?
That is a lot.
But this is a guy, you understand, and this is a problem. It goes back to his youth. Okay, Joe Biden is a pathological liar. Okay, he was forced out of his first presidential race for the White House for that very reason. This is 1987.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
I mean, come on. But you understand, that's who he is. Like, he gets on TV, he'll say anything. Black wealth has increased by 60%. Nobody's wealth. Wages are not rising above inflation. So think about that. Okay, if inflation at its peak hit 9%, okay, you'd think Black wealth being up 60%, we wouldn't even be discussing inflation. But sadly, we are discussing inflation because Black wealth didn't actually increase by 60%.
That is correct.
So what you're watching is, you know, a guy who's out to lunch in some instances, thinks he needs to get sent back to Congress. Here's clip 7.
In Pennsylvania, I have a message for you. Send me to Congress so that I can support this right.
Oh, man.
I promise you, if we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
That's it. Send him to Congress. He's going to fix Roe versus Wade. That's what we're down to.
The man is insane. He's not responsible for himself.
A lot of people feel that way. And it's hard not to when you watch him on a day-to-day basis. Okay, but understand again and again and again. Okay, you can't message your way out of something that physically causes people pain. Because the message is coming from that point of origin. It's not coming from the Sunday shows. I said this before, I'll say it again. Okay, people think the economy sucks because they have less money. And telling them they have more money on the Sunday shows isn't going to help because odds are they're out there picking up a shift. That's why I've got to sit here and continue to call shenanigans on the White House.
You got some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
This thing is going to become gargantuan when the Son of Man comes.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Going to be rapping with Brian Brenberg in the next break. Two things happening on the Hill today. Special Counsel Robert Hur testifying about his findings and his investigation into Joe Biden's mishandling of classified documents. And we've also got Christopher Wray, who testified on Capitol Hill today, and there was ongoing testimony as well, in response to TikTok and what Director Wray told us was a national security threat posed by TikTok. Here it is, clip 21.
I would just add that that kind of influence operation, or the different kinds of influence operations you're describing, are extraordinarily difficult to detect, which is part of what makes the national security concerns represented by TikTok so significant.
You understand? Okay. It's an influence operation. Okay. It is run by our biggest geopolitical foe in the world. We're talking about China. Okay, guys, TikTok in China, just so you understand, okay, puts a cap on how much time the kid can spend on it. And it also has them learning math and science and reading comprehension and things in between. What TikTok in America is a lot of broken people telling you how to live your life while they film off the dashboard in their car. Then you're getting funny sketches and guys lip syncing and dancing with their cat and, you know, then you've also got that pervert faction of TikTok, which is like, you know, the guys have a reason to justify their perversions. They're like, yeah, I followed a chef who cooks in the nude. I just really like the recipes. You know, it's the thing about that. Yeah, we got this fitness model. She does all these handstands naked. And, you know, it's like good workout routines that I watch, and they're really just justifying perversion. But the point is, the one thing all of this has in common is the more time you spend on the app, the more time China is harvesting your personal information, your biometric data, and everything in between.
This could be a problem.
Well, they're telling us on Capitol Hill that it is a problem, and that's why they want to get rid of it. Here is Marco Rubio talking about the algorithm and how it's also just propagandizing our youth on behalf of the Chinese government. Clip 22.
The problem is not TikTok or the videos. The problem is the algorithm that powers it is controlled by a company in China that must do whatever the Chinese Communist Party tells them to do. And the only way that that algorithm works is if that company in China, under the control of the Chinese government, is given access to the data that TikTok collects. TikTok does not work without that algorithm. And that algorithm is controlled by a company that's controlled by the Chinese Communist Party under the law of China.
Okay, so think about that. Okay, the laws of China dictate the algorithm our people consume, meaning our kids. And when you read stories that 60% of kids under the age of 25 are getting their news off TikTok, you realize we're in a pretty bad spot when it comes to TikTok.
Get out of here and take your mother with you.
I don't know that they're going to ban TikTok. Trump is now against banning TikTok. They had shut it down once before. Okay, but the back and forth when it comes to these hearings comes down to one thing. There's a lot of tech money, a lot of lobbyist tech money floating around Washington. So most of these hearings are just an opportunity for somebody to get a soundbite on the news by lashing out at some CEO. But at the end of the hearing, they all wind up going down the K Street for a pricey dinner at Cafe Milano.
This is politics as usual.
And by politics as usual, we mean theater. Okay, their job is to get on TV and act like they're looking out for the American people. And then the cameras shut off and they start looking out for those breadsticks. Maybe a nice bottle of Pinot Noir. The point is, TikTok ain't going anywhere, which means China's still going to have access to everything that, to be honest with you, we shouldn't be okay with them having access to.
Reality with a bit of insanity. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, back in action. Big Tuesday episode, bringing in the Tuesday closer. The Mariano Rivera of Tuesdays. That's how he demands to be introduced on the show. You might also know him as the host of the Big Money Show on the Fox Business Network. Brian Brunberg back in the house. Hey, man.
What's Mariano? He always threw the splitter. Is that what his
The cutter.
The cutter. I get those two. It's something He threw the cutter. One pitch.
Most of the guys who threw the splitter, the difference in the grip, the cutter is you're holding it on the seam. The splitter, you're holding it on the sandpaper. Mike Scott style.
I like that. I like that. You know, a little help.
Remember in 86 when Mike Scott was pitching against the Mets. He struck out like 370 guys that year, but they used to like confiscate his baseballs and they were all like slashed up. It was amazing.
Those are hard ground balls, man. Yeah. They hit the dirt. They really get scuffed.
Narcos, when the feds have to slash a package to see if there's cocaine in it. Those were Mike Scott baseballs. Apparently they were apprehended at the border, so the feds had to slash them up. Scuffing the ball.
You know, you reminded me, though, in the we were just at Cooperstown, the video they show you beforehand, Mariano Rivera's in it, mm-hmm. and he makes a point, like, the feeling of having one pitch mm-hmm. and everybody knowing you're going to throw it,
yep.
and they still can't hit it. And then they cut to World Series, and it's like, that's unreal.
One of my favorite things in the world was hearing an announcer go, yeah, there's a lot of English on that. I go, there's not much on the pitcher. I guess you got to pick your battles. No, but we love Mariano Rivera. Revered in the Fela House, as you would imagine, number 42.
Of course.
From Panama, a badass, a four-time World Series champ. Well, no, let's get technical here. 96, not knowing, he was around for 2009, a five-timer, World Series champion.
Fills up one hand with the rings.
Could you imagine? So it's good to see you. We were talking about the economy before you came on. This is the one thing I wanted to get into of semi-substance, because I think that's our hook to the American people. We offer them semi-substance.
We're not talking like a big semi of substance either. That's not what we're saying.
No, it's like when Biden said semi-fascists. We're semi-substance.
All right.
We actually have a big red light on that's bathing us in red light like Biden's semi-fascist speech. But if I'm reading that 3.2% inflation in the month of February is the actual official number, okay, that to me tells me that the Inflation Reduction Act, which seemed a little more like a climate bill than an inflation reducer, doesn't seem to be living up to its billing. Would you concur that this can of Raid is not killing the bugs?
Yeah, I mean, we're not at 9% anymore, so woohoo, we can celebrate about that. Yeah, right, yay. But we have dropped down to this level of 3.2% was the headline, 3.8 was the core number, take out energy and food. The point is, if you look at the graph of the inflation rate, it goes way up here, comes down to like here, and now we're in this part
leveling
of it where
out.
It's just leveling out. And, you know, look, I'd rather be at 3.8 than at 9, but the problem is we want to be at 2, and we're not dipping down to get there. So for the average American, the issue is, I don't love these interest rates. I don't love 7% mortgage. If you're just talking economics, and we're in a political year for sure, if you're just talking economics, not seeing a lot of data that tells you ought to bring that interest rate down.
That's the issue.
But in a political year, you got Elizabeth Warren, you got Bernie Sanders, you got a lot of pressure, Jay Powell, bring those rates down, Biden.
The rates are too damn high.
The rates are too damn high.
Says?
That's right. We're not even talking about rent right now. We're just talking about rates.
Rates are too damn high.
I don't know. It's a sticky situation. I think we're going to find out what holds, economics or politics.
That's
this year.
What I was going to ask
I'm
you.
Not betting on economics.
But you're saying if there is a rate cut, it would be politically motivated?
Unless we saw numbers that were drastically different from what we're seeing now.
Okay. Talking to Brian Brunberg, host of the Big Money Show, a semi-substantive guy, is what we said.
That seems generous. Even.
Well, talk to me about this, because this is the one thing that drives me crazy. When they remove food and energy from the analysis, okay, I understand that that's how we compute this data, but you know who doesn't have the luxury of removing food and energy from their analysis? Everybody else out there that's going to the grocery store right now or heating a home.
It is. It's ridiculous because the economists the economists take it out because they don't like it to the numbers to be all wild.
Volatile. I know. That's the issue.
Like, but that's what we're living with.
They're like, if you go to a Yankee game, it's not that expensive when you remove tickets and parking and food. When you remove tickets, parking, and food from going to a Yankee, it's actually pretty cheap.
It is.
You're just buying a hat for your kid at
that's
the store.
Right.
Going to a game costs $20 under my administration if you remove food and parking and tickets and the ticket fees, which, by the way, I'm taking Lincoln to a Dodger game. Do you want to know what the ticket fees are in a Dodger game in L.A., which they're anywhere else? But you're literally paying over $150 a ticket for the fee. But that's not unique to the Dodgers. That's like baseball in general.
Right.
But they're charging you a convenience fee. Okay, but there's nothing convenient about...
Where's my convenience here? It says I'm getting some convenience.
Yeah, there's nothing convenient about me picking up a side job. That's inconvenient.
Why is it even okay for them to say convenience fee? What does that really mean?
I know.
It just means we got to, like, shovel some tents out of the way of
It's actually convenient for them because they don't have to print a paper ticket anymore. They send it to your phone. That's the convenience. So it's racket.
Yeah, I can't stand that process. Just want to – I hate that process.
But that's where there's like a collusion in a market, because if every ticket site does the same thing, you know what I mean?
That's
it just
true.
Becomes acceptable practice. I mean, that's kind of how the airlines do us. I mean, if you think about this, you know, one of the core prices, or I don't know if this is considered core, but airfare is up 31% since he took office. 31% is a number. Okay, and whenever these things go up, they generally don't come back down. Like if you remember in 2009 when we had that fuel crisis – they're like, enough's enough. Every airline is charging a $50 surcharge because we got to combat this fuel crisis. Yeah. Well, the fuel cost eventually did go down, but you know what didn't? That $50
the fuel crisis fee.
The crisis fee is just there. And that's the racket. So what I think I come back to, and I talked about this at great length before you came on, is when they try to attribute this to a messaging problem. They're like, oh, it's a messaging problem. I'm like, dude, the people that are being hit the hardest by inflation are not watching Sunday morning shows because they've had to go work on Sunday. They're not off anymore. They're not watching the Sunday. So it's not a messaging problem. It's the message they get from the ATM, is it not?
Yeah, that's right. And what's crazy is you've got these junk fees, okay? Mm-hmm. And so the president is like, well, instead of trying to fix, you know, the main problem, I'm just going to focus. But we're actually playing into his hands right now.
Yeah.
You do realize, because every time we complain about the convenience fee, he's like,
is he the guy going after the convenience
he's
fee?
He's like,
I don't know that
like,
he is.
Jimmy,
he's going after shrinkflation.
I got a deal for you. That's what I'm going after.
He's going after Snickers. He ain't going after SeatGeek. I don't know. But I'll listen, whatever. But the point is, to me, it feels like we're fighting a lot of the wrong battles right now. That's what I think. You know, whether we were talking about how they describe illegal immigrants or what we do with the packaging in a Snickers bar. As someone said on Fox News Saturday night this past weekend, shrinkflation really is the original Wonder Bra. You know, if you've ever dated someone with a Wonder Bra, you pay a lot for a package, you get it home, that you find out there's less chips in there than you were promised on the campaign trail. Is the Wonder Bra not the original shrinkflation?
I can't.
You don't
can't
need to dignify that with
I
a response. Your laughter alone is all the dignification we need.
Somebody should have said that in the State of the Union response. That's what we needed.
You know who would have said that in the State of the Union response? Okay. It was a president who went by the slogan, Make America Great Again. Just not the one you think, okay?
I believe that together we can make America great again.
That's my favorite thing about when Hillary was slandering Trump for Make America Great Again. She's like, oh, what kind of white supremacist would say Make America Great Again? I'm like, I don't know, this guy? That's amazing. You know, Reagan also said Make America Great Again.
A lot of people said it.
Of course
people
they did.
People said it. You know, it's crazy because there are a lot of people who would like America to be great.
Imagine.
Again.
Because we are clearly, okay, in the behind the music phase of America. Yeah. We put out a lot of hits. Okay, the band has made some questionable choices. Now we might be a drummer away. I mean, yeah, Led Zeppelin lost Bonham and the party went on. Okay, you know, the Rolling Stones had a little staff turnover. You know, but the point is, we do need that turnover. We need somebody to invigorate some new energy into the band, is what I'm trying to say.
We could be in the one-arm drummer phase.
We could be Def Leppard-ing this.
Right? Like, that was a tough one, but they came back.
And they sure did. The Hysteria album came roaring back.
We've got Hysteria in our future.
Thank you. Or do we not? It's the problem.
Literally.
Or do we have the one that came after that? Which wasn't the best. They're not sending their best, Def Leppard. Shout out to Joe Elliott. Shannon Bream as well, who loves Def Leppard. But Bill Maher, and this is something we talked about off the air. Here is Bill Maher dreaming, not of a white Christmas, of a unity ticket. Here is Bill Maher, clip one, please.
Nikki Haley, I mean, the Super Tuesday, she got out of the race. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a future for her in the Republican Party now. What's crazy to think that she could run with Biden? But that's my dream, a unity ticket. And then he would, I think, definitely win.
No, a Nikki Haley Biden ticket.
Not even close.
That doesn't win.
Just a bit.
I know. But where I would give it to Bill Maher is I don't doubt that Haley, if she wanted to run third party, would do a lot better than people think. And the only reason I propose that to you, Brenberg, is because she probably ain't going to wind up on the Trump ticket.
No.
Because his voters absolutely positively hate her. And I don't think that changes. First of all, if Trump wins, the VP would probably be the potential next nominee, you know, because he's only going one term.
Yep.
Although the Democrats claim he's going to ban elections and be president for life, Xi Jinping style.
Yes.
Okay. And on the Biden side, if Biden wins and we go back into a wide open primary in 2028, I still don't see her as a proverbial Republican frontrunner. So if you were her, let's not even talk about whether she could win or not. I just want to know if you were her corner man, would you tell her to go for it just based on how unique this landscape is?
I mean, here's the X factor here. If you're willing to go that route, is you've got such a bad Democratic candidate, and I don't think there's going to be anybody but Biden. Yeah. You don't get that kind of thing very often. Mm-hmm. So if you were inclined to say, I'm going to chart some kind of course in the middle, you know, sort of like she did in the primaries.
Yeah.
This is what happened, like South Carolina. And you pick up you can pick up more of those folks, and you maybe lean into that. It would be sort of a weird thing for a Republican to do, but this is the time. It's not. Yeah. It's actually not. You know, it's not Michelle Obama. It's not Gavin Newsom. Yeah. It's not Gretchen Whitmer. It's Nikki Haley.
Imagine
if you want that.
Imagine tricky Nikki goes third party right now. I mean, it'd be funny as hell.
I think she could pull a lot of Biden voters.
That's
I think
the
she'd
point.
Pull some clearly some Republicans as well.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an interesting mashup.
Be a wild dynamic. I mean, for her, and this is what I think a lot of people are mistaking in both parties. That's why they don't want a younger person in the race. I think this is the one year a third party, whether it's Nikki or somebody else, would be positioned well because they're going to be 40 years younger than the other two old men screaming at each other.
Yeah.
The other two old men who have very high negatives. You know, I don't know that it's going to happen. I'm just saying if ever there was a year for it to happen, this would be the year because you have a matchup people don't want to watch.
And the ability for a contrast.
Yeah.
You know, you're always looking for contrast, and this would be a year where you've got, you know, this, and then you've got what she could offer, and it would stand out.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, we're making a strong case for Kanye to get back into this thing. I mean, the opening is there.
You know, we're trying to kind of delicately get around that, but
we're trying to tactfully admit it's Kanye's year, okay? The black vote is up for grabs. He remains very popular in his community, rightfully so. I don't know, man. I just think what we're going to watch, because we all keep doing the same thing. Everybody I work with in media, when they hear someone say it's 8 months from Election Day, you just hear a flask come out of jacket pocket.
I'm like, are you? Survive.
And I just, you know, I don't believe. This is all I have. I have no, like, background source to go on. I'm not telling the listener that I know something they don't. I'm just telling them my intuition, my horse sense that has gotten me this far in life. Is that there's no way the landscape that we're analyzing right now is the only one we're going to be on. I believe the ground is going to shift in 8 months.
Politics is not stable enough to allow for that.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's just not.
When all the factors in play can't stay together that long. They've got to reconfigure somehow.
You know the old adage, overnight is a lifetime in politics?
Yep.
We have 200 overnights before somebody pulls a voting lever.
If things didn't reconfigure, we would all go insane.
Yes. We have 200 overnights, and we have two guys running who will wake up to pee in the middle of all of them. Okay, I promise you, the potential for upheaval is everywhere we look, America.
And that the need to do that might actually be the thing that introduces the X factor.
Oh no, right? The October surprise is a banana peel on a cold tile floor.
Somebody leaves something in the hallway.
Oh no,
there's a trip.
Yeah, they finally let the Hunter stripper baby into the White House. It leaves a Lego on the floor. Biden steps on it.
Wow.
We got a new nominee.
Wow.
Brian Brenberg, I did not expect you to take it there, but this is the guy, and you didn't, to be clear.
I think you dragged me there. I think I got dragged there.
But if there was ever a year, it was going to happen, I think it would be this year. So, you know, like a Ross Perot type of year. Now, give me this. Well, we're still here. They haven't turned the mics off yet. They motioned like they wanted to, but they haven't.
Lazy.
Where does RFK shake out in all of this? He's on the ballot in Georgia and Arizona, so far as I know.
Yeah.
Polling at 25% in Arizona, which is not nothing in a key state. But how do you see him affecting the race? I mean, is he there on election night?
I mean, I think he's – I do – look, if you look at all the polling and how he plays into that, he matters.
Yeah. I mean,
if he sticks this out, he's going to affect the election, not in a way where he can win, but I think he could. I always thought that he would do more damage to Trump.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's just, he's got positions on certain issues that would seem to kind of comport with that. But I don't know if that's the case, actually.
Yeah.
I think most of the polling would show you he's actually going to do more harm
to Biden.
Biden's way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about like the realistic Ross Perot thing and all this, actually, I think it's him.
It's RFK.
And I got to say, every time I see him, and I think the more people see him, the more he's going to peel away.
Because he's kind of splitting the difference in a roundabout way.
He's splitting the difference, and I think he's splitting it in a way that's grabbing more centrist Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, again, that's not what I expected.
Yeah, yeah.
But he will, you know, we talk about Ross Perot to this day, every election.
Yep.
He exists in the narrative of American politics.
Yep.
Like what affects it. That's where Robert Kennedy will be.
Gosh, it is so up in the air. You got the potential for like a Haley on a no labels. Okay, we got RFK doing his independent thing. We said Haley no labels. And now even Andrew Cuomo's back in the news, which he would run on a no pants.
That's right.
Which is it's a difference altogether. There he goes, Brian Brenberg.
Jimmy Failla.
Nice kid, but a little dumb.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Final break of the show. We stuck Brian Brenberg back in the chair for one more break to defend himself against a charge from our first caller of the day, Jody down in Virginia. This is for you. Jody loves you on the show, loves me on the show. Bought the book, was at our live virtual book signing.
No kidding.
And claims we were about to get into his question. And then you know how me and you got lost in crosstalk?
Oh, yeah.
Never got to the question.
What?
So now hold on, though. Because he's like, no, but that's all right, because I emailed the question to your Saturday night team. I don't have the question. I can't even, like, read it to you now. Jody, we can't even give you your moment of redemption. We have to hope the Fox News Saturday night crew takes over. Because you remember that rollicking book signing? Sometimes we'd be talking, one of us would jokingly cut off the other, and we'd go on a tangent.
Or jokingly cut off, or like, we need to cut this off now.
Jody, you also need to understand, one publisher shot herself live during the first 5 minutes of the show. HarperCollins asked to change the label on the front of the book. That was the why, and they did say that. They're like, we've never seen anything like it. It was the greatest time ever. It was a stampede of insanity. And that's why you hang out with Failla and Brenberg. Brenberg and Failla is the order he demands me to say.
Mariano Rivera.
The Mariano Rivera of business television. Well, the ball game is over. Pay up, get out. Go to that Yankee parking garage. I'll see everybody on the Ingram angle. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, just don't be a...
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, for a look at how we can advocate for a cleaner earth while strengthening U.S. energy independence. Available now on FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.